Oh, that's just so epic. Oh, yes, and welcome and kia ora, everybody. Good evening to you, and happy Mummy's Day to all the mums out there. I rang up my mum this morning and wished her a happy Mother's Day, and my wife, of course, and to all the mummies out there, you deserve love, kisses, and heaps of hugs and heaps of thank yous, because you know what? I've worked out over the years that mummies and daddies who love their kids and serve them, because ultimately that's what it's about, you all deserve hugs and kisses and thanks, that's for sure. So big special acknowledgement to all the mothers today, all the mummies, praying that you will have a great day or great evening and a great rest of the year. Anyway, kia ora everybody, welcome to the Magic Daikou Sunday Roast. Yes, the Sunday Roast is now served. Come and smell what's cooking and come and taste of it. Boy, I tell you, it's been a weird week, I tell you. It really, 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 truly has. And I don't really know what to say, but other than I'm really glad that I've got good people around me, good friends, and you guys to support me. You know what? It's really funny though, as I go through this journey, I find myself, you know, with the crowd of people that used to give me grief, it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. I still get slandered, I still get attacked in threads and things like that, but it just seems to get smaller because I think people have worked out, am I a thief? Am I a con man? Am I a CCP agent? Am I a UN agent? Am I a Freemason? Am I any of those things? Am I a secret society man? All these rubbish things, you know. What you get is what you see, I tell you that. And I'm a hoary guy from Mangere, from South Auckland, where I grew up, in a state house. And I love my family, love my mum, and love most people that I meet, love and try to do my best to do my best, if you know what I mean. So what you get's what you see, and that is it. That's really it. At 51, almost, I'm not really interested in being anything I'm not, that's for sure. Pretending is really not what it's about, is it? So welcome to you all for this great show with my sister, Tiamara Williams, who I always love having on the show because she makes me look really intelligent. So that's always a great reason to have you, one of your best mates, on the show with you there. So I do have a little bit of housekeeping that I want to talk about tonight, and one of them is about this here. Now I'm gonna have to just do a bit of changing because I just got this link, but I met the grandparents of a very special little boy today in our area. I met him met the grandparents anyway, and they were telling me about their special little boy in their lives, and who's got multiple sclerosis. He had a difficult birth and got injured, and essentially, as with cases like this, you know, the babies get, you know, they suffer for a lack of oxygen in some ways, and it just creates problems for them, right? And so his name is Fletcher, and this is little Fletcher's walking wish appeal, and we're going to try and get him to the United States late this year so that he can get special treatment that will hopefully get him walking and get him having that little boy lifestyle that he should be enjoying. There he is there. He's a cutie, all right. So he's in his, and apparently he is pretty much your nothing gets me down kind of little boy. So I think he deserves all of our help, and I'm certainly going to be donating from my meager coins, that's for sure. But I tell you, I'm going to be doing my best to promote this little boy's cause. So if you've got some spare dollars, please go to little Fletcher's Give a Little page and help us to get him to the United States at the end of the year, so that he can get some treatment and hopefully, and God willing, get out of that walker and be running across the fields with his nanny on the way to the beach. All right, so a couple of other things I want to go through as well. Don't forget, this week, I'm so excited, on Wednesday we have the Privacy Action Plan webinar. Now this is a free webinar. So the story is, is that Glenn said, look, tell everybody there's no charge for this webinar, give them the link and tell them to come along, and instead of paying to come to a webinar, if you could donate to Billy's legal fees, that would be really good. So what I'd like to say for tonight is if you feel like donating to me, how about splitting it and donating some to Little Fletcher and some to me? And that's if you want to come to this Privacy Action Plan. Now, these Privacy Action Plan seminars, they're not cheap to go to normally, and he's doing a free one so that us Kiwis can be a part of it. Now, the registration page, I'm just getting that up here. Here we go. Thank you very much, technology. And here it is. You'll be able to go in here. It's at this Wednesday at 12 p.m. So this Wednesday the 17th. Yes, save my spot. So all we do is click on that, and away you go, and you are in. And it's going to be awesome. Absolutely awesome. Okay, so we want you to be a part of it. I'm going to try and see how we can actually, there you go, this is how you do it. Look at that, it drops down, it's ready to go, and just sign up now. I'm already signed up, that's why I'm preloaded there for you. All right, so that should help you to get in there. Now don't forget, we've still got our petition. We're at well over 11,000 votes now, and we need your help to get to the next 1,000. Okay, if I could get 12,000, I'd be pretty happy with that, I tell you. We want to show the New Zealand court system that, you know, while they are giving people that have killed people with one punch or killed them and tortured them and done all those sorts of things to their victims, the judiciary is sentencing these people to 12 months home detention. And pea dealers that have sold, been caught with 5 kg of methamphetamine that they're selling, home detention, 6 months. And yet, for me, first up, in front of the bench like that at all, and for a victimless crime, and in fact probably an unlawful charge, they're trying to jail me for 5 months, reduced down to 4 months because of the home arrest that I've already house arrest that I've already had, and Vinny from 4 months to 3 months. So this is just unbelievable. So there is the petition there. Don't hesitate to get there to support it. And last and not least, I've got another week left of this bank account, and then ANZ will be closing my bank account, right? That's what they do. There is no such, it's happening. You guys know it. They know we know it. You know it. The banking system is going to be pretty much our enemy very, very shortly. So what we want to do is, please, if you can, while I've got this account, I'll get another account. I just haven't got around to it. I don't know quite what I'm going to do. I've got a couple of ideas, and I'll share them with you when I get them. But if you would like to support me, I've got a payment that's got to go out in the next few days for legal fees. I've been talking about that now for the last week. But if you are able to help, I would be very, very grateful if you would donate. All right, guys, that's it for me. I'm always excited to welcome my sister from another mister. That's the best I can do with that one. And Tiamara, of course, she was there all the way through 2020, through the election campaign. She was there after the elections. She was right by my side, down in Wellington, in the cold, in the rain, in the wind, in Auckland, in Wellington. Where, doesn't matter where, Christchurch, she will be by each other's side fighting for freedom. And it's my pleasure to welcome her this evening. Welcome, sister. Good to see you. Kia ora. Welcome. Oh, you're on mutant.
There we go. Yeah, wonderful to be here with you, Billy, as always, and with all your lovely, you know, people who follow you and listen to what you've got to say. It's always great to connect with everybody.
Right, I'm going to get right into it. Now, what's the latest with you? What's happening with you? Because I always know that you're like me, you're an adventurer. What have you been up to, and what's new in the world of Tiamara? How's Freedom Village?
Freedom Village is great, and I think what's been on my mind lately is probably on a lot of people's mind, and that is prepare, prepare, prepare. And I really think that's where it's at now. I can see every single day that the New World Order is preparing, preparing, preparing.
Yeah.
And once you're tuned into what's going on, you can see it. So every time I go out the gate, I go down the road and some new area is blocked off, and then I go down the following week and they've done more of the infrastructure for the 15-minute community areas. And interestingly, I was talking with my mum yesterday, and she was saying, what are you thinking to do in the future? And we said, well, we want to be more rural, and mentioned a bit about the future of cities. And what do you know? I then just turned over the front page of the newspaper, and it was all about the new plan for Christchurch. And it was just interesting to look at the messaging. They kept talking about, oh gosh, I haven't got it in front of me, but they call it the mass transport system or something like that. I think it's called the mass. And I thought that was interesting. It's a very degrading term, mass, the mass, the
The
masses,
herd.
when you diminish people to non-human. And now they're just the masses. It's not the people moving. It's not anything that humanizes the movement of people. It's the mass rapid transport system. That's what they call it. And so they were talking about how they're going to be mass rapid transport moving people. They're going to be doubling the population of Christchurch. And it's going to be all about people jumping on this mass rapid transport system and going into the city, which is going to be bustling with high-rise buildings that people live in, and then they can just pop down on the elevator and go down to their work at the bottom of the building. And this is the new world order. And I've been giving that a fair amount of thought, So just went along another road on Friday night, and it's been blocked off. Was blocked off for a couple of weeks. And what do you know? There are these big bumps, so you can see. Okay, planners, cars won't be going here. Then I saw this big building full of bicycles. So clearly, the idea is you're going to go park your car there and you're going to ride a bicycle around the city. And with the LEDs, I'm seeing more of them going in so that they're closer together. I consider LEDs are a toxic substance in the frequencies of our lives that most certainly make me sick anyway. And we know that the capability of LED lights is they are tunable. They can be tuned up and down. They can make you more awake. They make you more asleep. They can make you feel different things. And it reminded me of the president of Chile not so long ago. I saw in a presentation where he was saying how in the future they will be actually changing the way that people feel and the way they behave using these frequencies. So I think frequencies are a big part of the control factor of the future, something we have to be protected from. And and we are definitely going to see these 15-minute communities, which the ballsy British are burning down, which I totally admire them for. And I just can't see that. I can't see that in the New Zealand population, that zest to protect and stand for life as we have enjoyed and known and felt free in. And I was reflecting on it today and thinking, gosh, I think a lot of these people, a lot of these woke people are going to think 15-minute cities are just fantastic, because there won't be cars and they'll just be able to walk everywhere, and the dream is spun. But little do they know that it's a poisonous environment. Children will grow up without a garden with a tree in it that they can jump in, and a space where they can grow their vegetables, away from these electronics, where they can ground all that toxic energy and keep their bodies healthy. It's going to be a very unhealthy environment.
Absolutely. You know what? I hate to say it. We've got a little bit of a lag there. But I hate to say it, but we were warning people about this in 2020. We really were. And what I was the I guess the analogy I was coming up with back then was that the World Economic Forum really is the testing canary in the chamber. And it was telling us, they were telling us, the organization was telling us, you're going to own nothing and be happy. You're going to be in these high-rise smart city, Rockefeller resilient cities, where everybody will be under high surveillance. You'll be in a social credit type system. You will face endless vaccinations because to be in close proximity to each other in a herd environment, to be a part of it, you need to roll up your sleeves and get the jab. We've seen already what it's like to have a system where where, in fact, if I mean, just what, 18 months ago, we had a two-tier system where you had Ardern, former Prime Minister Ardern, tell us that if you got vaccinated, you had your rights. If you didn't get vaccinated, you lost all your rights. You lost your concert tickets, you lost your summer. And so really we are seeing the awful, awful reality of what we knew was coming, Te Amara. And I don't think people actually believe us when we say that we wish we weren't right, because I know you're very genuine when you say that. When we say these things, we really don't want to be right. I tell you, we really, really, really don't want to be right. Right, I've got a few quick fire articles that I want to run past you, so we'll discuss those. But I have a couple of star articles that I want to talk about as well. Why is that not changing there? Let's go to here. That's why. And you know what? Sometimes I really, really, really think that this guy Damien Grant. This is stuff.co. Now Damien Grant is meant to be a conservative type, right wing type journalist that just happens to write for Stuff, right? I'm not too sure about him. But anyway, he writes this article, "We aren't in a cost of living crisis, we're just poor." Well, when you walk through this, quite like this guy's writing most days, I do. But what he's saying, he's got some interesting things to say. He says, a crisis implies an exogenous event has erupted an equilibrium, and that it can and will be resolved. A crisis occurs and it either passes or a new status emerges. We do not have a cost of living crisis because the fall in our living standards is not a temporary condition. He's got that right. And according to one of the few government departments still operating at some basic level of competence, the Department of Statistics, the cost of living for the average household rose by over 8% in 2022. Now, for most people, that's a major problem. For most of us, 8% is a lot, especially when you're on fixed wages, especially if you're on a fixed income such as a pension or a benefit. So at the same time, average wages rose by just over 7%. I don't know where he gets these figures from, but anyway, we do not index taxation, partly because the continued expansion of the state has created demand for additional tax revenue. He's right there. As workers' nominal income rises, they move into higher tax brackets. A crude analysis based on the average wage of $61,000 moving to $64,000 would see this income earner pay an extra 1.4% in tax, or $900. So really, you know, that leap gives you nothing more, because what you have is that you probably don't have an adjusted inflation rate that your wages or salary is responding to. But anyway, we'll talk about that in a second. The net effect is that most Kiwis saw their real incomes fall by over 2% last year. This was not, however, evenly distributed. The better off you are, the less impacted you are by this crisis. All right, you can sort of see where he's going from that. But my sort of view on this, Te Amara, is that when you look at it, you see statements being made by the Salvation Army. You see statements being made by Auckland City Mission. Statements being made by budgeting services across New Zealand that are dealing with families in crisis everywhere. So you've got people that are low-income people that are on incomes that tend to be fixed in that lower income bracket, and they're getting far less for their money. So I don't quite 100% agree with what this guy is saying. He's saying, no, it's not the cost of living, it's the fact that we're poor. But that's a weird kind of synopsis of it, because from what the media are saying, now my ex-wife, she works at a budgeting services organisation, and she knows it well. They're dealing with more people in crisis, having to find more food parcels than ever, because people just cannot make ends meet. And to prove my point, there is a budgeting services organisation down in Hamilton who said that, the manager said the thing that's really freaking them out is that it's not the people on the low income brackets, it's actually now the middle class that are requiring help, because they're just not getting the same value. And of course, when rates go up, for mortgages and that. They get caught out unless they're in a fixed loan situation, and it's just a disaster. Well, what are your thoughts on that, Tiamara?
I think that what we're seeing is sooner than I anticipated. Exactly. You know, the thing about the elite is they tell us everything they're going to do.
Yep.
So we shouldn't act surprised. They have said in the in Agenda 21, 2030, that the idea is they're going to create equity. And what that means in their worldview is pretty much means that the middle class gets killed off. And so you don't just make everybody like better off, you kind of flatten it down,
Yep.
and then you have you know, the developing world, you kind of bring them up a little bit, and especially when you're people moving around a lot, but so taking people from less affluent places and putting them in more affluent places. And plus then you've done like 3 years of targeted attack on the middle class, on business owners. I mean, I'm just seeing now in my area, just as an example, it's there are hardly any cafes. And I really think that's because it's now frightening to open a cafe after what people have lived through, and they've seen that that's a very vulnerable space to be in. And so now the choices are limited. And you know, I live in Rolleston, and there was also an article in the paper yesterday saying that Rolleston's like overpopulated, but what it really is underserved. And so in the they have Rolleston Square. You've pretty much just got chain outlets. So nothing with a heart and soul, nothing with a mum and dad, nothing with someone who's just giving it a go or expressing themselves and making an income. You've just got the big guys in there, and they run that show. And I think we're just going to see more and more of that as we see middle class businesses just unable to survive. And I think for me, what's been surprising, I didn't think it would happen quite so quickly. And it is really happening every single day. There's an erosion of our actually affluent way of life. If you think about it, if you've got more than you need, then life is affluent. And that's really what middle New Zealand has looked like for a long time, is that people have had shelter, food, transport, clothing, schooling, all of these things at pretty high level. And we're now seeing, I mean, just to quote Rolleston again, they were saying there were 1,500 kids in the high school. That's a lot of kids. And you just do wonder what quality of education they're getting in amongst all of the absolute rubbish that's been they're spending their time on. So yeah, that's my thought about it. I think that people, that's why I say prepare, 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 because you know, Klaus Schwab has called for a meeting at the end of the year to accelerate the reset, and accelerate they are, and it is happening under our noses. And for those who are not awake, they're going to wake up one day and find that everything is already done. And they live in a 15-minute city, and they're
Ooh, what happened there? We just got.
Bob Taylor or whatever fashion designer. Sorry, Billy.
Yeah, sorry, Deb. We just had a bit of a lag. We just lost about the last 10 seconds of what you were saying. But you're right. What frightens me for people is that people are going to leave it too late. People are going to just leave the move too late. They're going to get caught up and they're going to be stuck in cities. Where you will need a permit to be able to grow, you'll have to you will probably be forced into buying what they would call recommended sources of supply for seed. You know, it's just never ending, because unfortunately what we're seeing is, again, it's that name, Bill Gates. His fingerprints are across almost every important sector of the planet. He really is. He owns over 40% of the global food market, Tiamana, this creepy creep.
Oh my goodness.
And I've got a name for Bill. It's a Latin name I made up. It's Creepus Gigantus. What do you think of that? Creepus Gigantus. Anyway, but look at this article. Sorry, keep going.
He's in every part, every angle of the agenda. Where there's money to be made, you will find the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The other thing I think, Billy, that people really need to be health. I have a friend who went to hospital last week. She had cardiac issues. She went in there. The woman who was admitting her, the nurse, said, "Oh, I noticed that you're unvaccinated." We strongly suggest that all cardiac patients are to take the COVID jab, and gave her a piece of paper which she was to take, you know, to the next department or whatever to get her jab. And she tore it up in front of her because she's very feisty. And then at the end of the session, the woman gave her that piece of paper again to once again try and coerce her to go and get the jab. And I truly believe it will only be a year or two before they say, if you don't, we're not treating you. And so people need to be really looking after their health, and that there are so many things that we can do. But whilst we're in this state of it's a stress state, you know, we've been traumatized over the last few years, there's a huge amount of adaptation that's involved, and that is incredible. Change is stressful for people. It's and the whole thing is like a witnessing a death. I mean, there's a huge amount of grief involved in seeing that our world that was so beautiful and so free, and our country that felt so comfortable and nurturing, no longer feels like that. It feels like quite a threat. And I think this has a huge impact on people's health. And so in order to avoid turning up at the hospital, and of course you have to turn up if you've broken a bone and you need it set, but there are many, many things that you don't really need to go to the hospital for. And I mean, I saw that as my dad aged, and he would have this pain or that, and we'd rush him off to hospital. And invariably, they sent him home and said they don't have anything to do for him, and they don't know what it is after they've done their battery of tests. So I do think that health is a huge focus people need to look at, and reducing stress levels is a really huge part of that. I just think that is a huge part of preparing, becoming independent of the system, because the system will not want us. Pretty sure of that.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I know they definitely don't want me, that's for sure. And so, no, you're dead right there. All right, I've got a little surprise for everybody. I'm just going to do a sneaky here, because Ted, who's doing the editing on the film, which we're getting excited about, Sister Tiamara, has just sent me just this second, the fifth and final trailer before we release episode one. And I'm going to give everybody a quick sneaky peek of it. And let's have a look at what it looks like, shall we? I'm kind of excited, actually. Let's just give that back. Look at that, eh? Look at that. I am getting interfered with. I'm watching a perfect signal turn bad. Isn't it amazing? So I'm just going to make sure that we're still in touch here. We are. We're all back here. All right, everybody. Now, in case you didn't hear what I just said, because we had a wicked interference cut across our signal here, I've just been sent the fifth and final trailer for the River of Lies New Zealand Scamdemic Investigative Documentary, of which Tiamat is a big star of. And it's just come through now, and I want to share this with you. And this is the one that will, this is the final trailer, because we've now got episode one that we're getting ready to release, and God willing, be ready to go next month. And I'm so excited. I'm like a kid waiting for Christmas, Tiamara, and I'm so impatient, I tell you. Anyway, let's have a look at this. Let's have a look. Let's go.
Kia ora, the truth is coming. Today is May 9th, 2023, In August last year, I knew that the harm caused by the New Zealand government's COVID-19 response had to be fully researched, documented, and reported. But what emerged was the need to investigate the behaviour of politicians, medical bureaucrats, academia, and New Zealand media, which might explain how such massive harm could be caused. The River of Lies and New Zealand Scandemic investigative documentary started in September, and it has been a long journey and a much bigger one than I could have anticipated.
This government does not care for New Zealand and its citizens at all. I mean, you cannot tell me that Jacinda gives a rat's tail about any of us. I mean, look at how many suicides have happened over the last 2 years. But oh no, hang on, let's just rewrite how we classify suicides. Oh look, it's dropped.
What we're seeing on Channel 1, Channel 3, New Zealand Herald, Stuff Media, it's all been bought and paid for. You know, these media companies, you didn't get part of a $50 million grant, did you, Billy?
We've also seen the spread of misinformation on COVID-19, particularly through social media. We had to act, so we made it a priority to establish a public interest journalism fund to help our media continue to produce stories that keep New Zealanders informed.
I know with the mandates, there were a lot of people who lost their jobs. It was a no jab, no job situation. So a lot of employees and a lot of businesses closed. Personally, I have two friends who own restaurants, very, very top restaurants in New Zealand, lost everything, lost their whole life. And as a consequence, lost their life as well. Literally, they took their own life.
We had kids in here that couldn't have the vaccine. You know, it wasn't just an issue about they didn't want it, they couldn't have it. And they were kicked out of their networks, from sport to, you know, their friends to everything. You know, I mean, these kids are 12, 13 years old, which is just unbelievable that you'd expose a kid at that age, where they're finding who they are and their identity in life, and that you'd expose them to that sort of, trauma is just unbelievable from the government. But that's what we were dealing with. We were dealing with these kids that were suicidal, very bad depression, and their parents were coming in here and saying, if you close, I don't know if my kid's going to make it.
I was what they call vaccine hesitant. I really wasn't going to have it, but they made it to the point where there was just no way not to, for me personally. Got up there and said that, you know, no concerts, no summer, you know, and I had concert tickets from 2020, hundreds of dollars worth of concert tickets, that I wasn't going to get any refund on. But the real issue I had was on day four, which was about 90 hours after I'd had the injection. I turned over in bed and it was just explosions of pain throughout my body, excruciating pain. I was in tears and crying out in pain. My muscles felt like I'd run a marathon on no training. It was just literally the worst pain of my entire life.
What we have uncovered in this documentary is shocking, angering, and heart-shattering, but leaves us with important questions that need to be answered. How do we hold those responsible accountable for their actions? And can we and should we ever trust the New Zealand government again? This documentary plays a major part in answering these questions. We've recorded over 1,800 minutes of interviews, and we now intend to release not one, but three documentary episodes, because what we have captured is far too important not to share. We are now in the editing phase and can see the light at the end of the tunnel for releasing the first episode. In this documentary, you will hear expert testimonies from scientists and doctors, and also the testimonies of those who've been harmed by the New Zealand government.
I know enough about infectious diseases. I'm not a vaccinologist, but I have a good understanding of immunology. So I use this nonsense. You don't quarantine the healthy. I knew in a heartbeat we were in so much trouble, because never before had the whole Western world done the same thing in lockstep. Over the next few weeks, they, all the countries I could find information at were imposing the same nonsense but damaging measures.
This is some of the most brilliant, well-orchestrated and massively funded pack of lies that humanity has ever seen.
This was arbitrary and capricious. It's not science-based, and it led to one of the greatest abuses of power by governments in modern history.
Ironically, as we edit the first episode, and during the past week, we've seen the World Health Organization and US government announce that the COVID pandemic is over. The US government even said that May 11 is the official date the COVID-19 pandemic ends. Yet the harms caused by governments and pharmaceutical companies over the last 3 years, with their hysterical approach to capturing the opportunities of a pandemic, are still with us. This past March 2023, I was sentenced to 5 months prison for a small, peaceful protest in 2021 against lockdown harm, for which I am on bail and under appeal. Yet we now have New Zealand mainstream media reporting what we always knew, that COVID-19 for most New Zealanders is the equivalent of the flu. The importance of this documentary cannot be underestimated, and with your support, we will get the truth out there. Please go to our website, riveroflives.co.nz, and sign up to our blog and donate to help us finish this most important project. Thank you as ever for your time, and please keep the peace in your spirit and seek the Lord for his care. But do rest assured, the truth is coming.
Well, that wasn't too bad, Sister Tiamana. I would be, what do you think?
Oh, well done, Billy. I mean, I totally stand with you in terms of there has to be accountability. There has to be. I think the other thing that comes to me, though, is, oh, I just pray that people say no to these things when they happen. People, you know, learn from this. It's not just about the bad government. It's about the people, the complacent people who don't stand up and quite simply say no. And that it couldn't have happened if that had not been the case. And yes, there was this terrible scam that was perpetrated on the people. But the people let it happen. And I think that's what comes to me is like,
yep.
I just pray that this wakes people up to recognize that, hey, something really did go on. It was really wrong. And next time, take it upon themselves to stand up and say no, because there is so much more to come. Moderna's got 40 vaccines in the pipeline. They're all mRNA delivery. They're moving into this whole new thing called preventive health, which is just being jabbed endlessly. For everything, every condition you can imagine, they will have a so-called vaccine for it.
Well, I know that Sister Dr. Rima told me that the World Health Organization has 500 new vaccines in the vaccine schedule for the planet, according to the World Health Organizations. But you're right, it stops when people say no.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that's really, really surprised me in 2020 is how political parties, minor ones, did not realize the serious nature of what we were dealing with back then. Tiamara, you saw the efforts I made to go around, and I saw everybody. I saw Brian, I saw Sue Gray, I saw everybody with a party and said, hey, we've got to come together. We've got to come together. We've got to come together. And they said, oh no, you won't be a co-leader. And the next thing they saw, of course, I was a co-leader with Jamie Lee, which was a in hindsight now, a very terrifying and terrible decision, but it was what it was. We did our best in 2020 to do what we did, Te Amara. We fought so hard. I'd never been so tired in my life than I had been by the end of that. And yet, so that leads me to this one here. You know, we had last week, we had Brian announce that he was, in fact, just a few days, Brian was saying that he was going to stand himself as a political candidate. Now, last year, well, and the year before, when he came out and started attending the outdoor parties and was running these protests and things like that, I said to everybody, look, this guy is going to form a political party and he's going to stand. He's going to end up putting himself forward as a candidate. And when questioned about that, Brian said, no, I'm here for the cause. My wife is the politician. But I saw right through that and I said, no way, man. There's no way. There is no way that Brian is doing all of this just for the cause. Because I begged him. I begged Hannah. I begged Sue Gray. I begged them all. Chris Leach. I begged Layton. I begged Elliot, all of them, the new Conservative board. Who else was it? I mean, you know, everyone I could to say, look, let's come together, put ourselves second and come together. And if we had come together, there was a likelihood we could get 10 MPs in. And if we did that, we would have a good footing to start this. And so I was absolutely not surprised when this came out last week. And I got to say, for me, it, you know, and I know that people are going, oh, Billy, you know, whatever. But you know what? To me, it's a Frankenstein. It's a Frankenstein. You have got people that are so far different in alignment that that have come together to make this possible. Let's get that there. And I don't think anyone's buying it, but it's amazing, Te Amara. And what I see happening is this, and I'm still getting people, and in fact it's building up. People are asking me to stand again. And if I was gonna do that, you'd be the first to know after my wife, because you'd be right there beside me. But there is, unless we understand and have a platform of telling people the way it really is, the problems that really exist, and are prepared to be completely honest about it, all we are going to do is provide a sustaining activity for the system that is so broken and corrupt. And I don't hear any of the political parties, the minor ones, saying that the system is completely broken, it's corrupt, it's wrong, it needs to be dismantled, and something that serves all New Zealanders needs to be set up. Now, my strategy in 2020 was to get into Parliament, be a voice for the people, be a watchdog for the people, but to work from within to create a new governmental system. That was our approach then. But what we have is a bunch of people that are going to get in and work with what is there. And I understand all the thinking that goes around, reasons why people think that's a good idea. But the reason why I won't stand again is because I know that, well, number one, they would do everything they can to stop me from getting into Parliament. And number two, they would never let me go in because they know I'm not bought and I know what the real issues are, like you do. But what are your thoughts, Te Amara? What are your heartfelt thoughts?
I mean, once again, I really, gosh, I think if people believe that the powers that be will not infiltrate and divide and conquer the freedom community over an election, I think that's not correct thinking. And the day that Freedom and Rights Coalition turned up on the scene happened to be the day that you were evicted from the scene. It was literally the next day after the Jamie Lee breakup, suddenly out of nowhere, out of absolutely nowhere, and this is when we've been at it for, I don't know, a year or something by this stage, Billy. I can't remember how long, but a long time. And all of a sudden, these people that haven't appeared whatsoever turn up. I'll never forget their first so-called protest where Brian Tamaki wore a mask and they were selling masks that say freedom on them, which is a contradiction in terms because masks are about slavery and you write freedom on it. That's got to tell you a lot. They had a jabbing clinic on their own, on grounds that they owned. So I pretty much predicted the very first day that this is what would happen. Absolutely. And I think that people need to be very, very aware of the fact that the freedom movement will be divided and conquered, I believe. I pray that's not the case. I pray that some miracle happens and that a voice of reason enters the parliament, but I don't think anybody can count on it. I don't think that, like, as you say, every possible obstacle would be put in the way of truth. And even, you know, people look at these small parties and they somehow think maybe they can relate to them better. Back in the day, I'd say half the freedom movement probably voted green at some stage. And here we've got the co-leader of the Green Party trotting off to the WEF for his training recently, along with someone from the ACT Party. They were both sent off for WEF training just a month ago or so. And so, you know, we're talking about a completely and utterly owned, infiltrated government. Either you're of it or you don't know what's going on. And so, I don't know. That's my thoughts, Billy. I think that there will be a lot of confusion. I think that a lot of people will get drained if they invest too much energy in that. I utterly and 100% believe the best thing that people can do is to find their courage, and that when something comes along and it doesn't feel right, because I tell you, they're going to be coming for the kids. They're going to invent a whole lot of childhood illnesses. And they're going to say they need vaccinating for them. This is an mRNA delivery system now moving forward. And they can pull these things out of the bag because in the past, they didn't have indemnity. So if they had an injury, if they had one injury, they had to take it off the market. That's gone. That's gone. So these things can be pumped out at an incredible rate. And we know that health is a huge target, as well as an entire life that is being created. So I absolutely believe that people must not think that someone's going to come and save them. We've all individually got to save ourselves and each other and become, you know, find that fortitude, find that strength, find that anger or whatever it is that you have to find that empowers yourself as an individual to be able to front up and say no and to be prepared and face reality and be strong and have that spirit, because this is about being light in the darkness, and the darkness will find many tricky ways to trick and tire and confuse people, who even those who are awakening.
Yeah, one of the confusions I have about both Brian and the Outdoors Party, Outdoor and Freedoms Party. Now, Donna Awakiri Phillips, Pōkiri Phillips, she joined the Outdoors Party, and I really think she's a real genuine sort, Donna. I really do. And I think she means exactly what she says and that she's there for the kids. What I can't reconcile is, well, there's a couple of things. Number one is how, as you say, you know, and as Debbie was just saying, that at one of the Freedom of Rights Coalition protests, they had scanners, they had social distancing, they had scanners, testing, and all those face masks and social distancing and scanning, right? And so, and they were selling, this shows you, to me, this was the epitome of how asleep they really are, because they were selling masks with the word freedom on it. You know, I mean, I laughed when I saw that. I thought, come on, this can't be, you know, they can't be serious. They're selling masks for people to muzzle themselves to show their compliance and obedience to this corrupt narrative that makes no sense. You'd had, in early 2020, you had Bloomfield, you had Dune, you had everybody telling us, you don't, masks, don't bother with them. If you want to wear them, it's up to you, but don't wear them because they don't do anything for you. You had Fauci saying the same thing. You had the WHO saying the same thing. But the difference was, is that Bill Gates ended up saying everyone needed to wear a mask and everybody was told to wear a mask. And so everybody promoted, you got to wear a mask because of the compliance, the subversion of critical thinking, which has been replaced with a surf type mental compliance. And, you know, they're selling these masks with the words, with the word freedom on it, Te Amara. And I looked at that and thought, well, come on, man, if that doesn't actually tell people something, how unconscious these people are, then nothing ever will. And then, of course, you find out that George Natai has got a, senior person in Destiny Church, has got a testing and vaccine station on Destiny Church grounds. Now, you know, and I'm sorry, that just doesn't look right. You know, I don't want to, you know, there's no malice in me saying this. There's only confusion and suspicion that makes me say this. I mean, you know, it really is that. There's no motivation. I don't want to go into politics, so they're not my political enemies here. It's not, that's not the point. But what we're seeing is a contradiction in behavior. People can say whatever they like. It's always the behavior that's gonna give you away, isn't it? You can say you're a Christian all you like and go out and sleep with somebody's wife or commit adultery, then you're stuffed. And believe me, you know, when we look at someone saying they're there for freedom and yet they're helping the government perpetrate and propagate this corrupt narrative and impose it on Māori and Pacific Island people that are in that particular area, you got to ask what's going on. With the freedom and with the outdoors party, you've got the outdoors party who've got people in it, including Sue, that will say the most horrendous things about anyone, and they've done it to me, and they just don't care. They just don't care. And I tried so many times with Sue and Ellen. We flew all over the country to meet them, to support them, all sorts of things, and they were just not interested. They just, you know, they lived in dreamland. I'll never forget the phone call I had from Alan Simmons about 2 weeks before the election. He rang me up to basically say, mate, the election's around the corner. After the election, you can join our party and we'll make you a junior, give you a couple of years, and we might give you a job at the end of it because we're going to get 51%. Again, you know, where does it come from? And there's a lovely photo with Sue Gray with cardinals and bishops of the Catholic Church, which I thought was very, very interesting. So moving right along, you know, my point is this: if we were to try and caption this particular sector off, I really do pray and wish that that this was a genuine thing. But every intuition in my body, in my bones, in fact, Te Amara, is telling me that there's something very wrong with this. It's a Frankenstein relationship. They say that it's three parties coming together. That's blinking dishonest. It's technically correct, but it's dishonest, because what they've got is they've got Vision as the registered party, along with Outdoors Party. And what Brian has done, he's created his own party and made that a separate party to Hannah's, and it's a component party. And so, I mean, you got Hannah and Ebony and Ivory, bread and butter. You know, you've got Hannah and Brian together in one party, and then there's Sue and the Outdoors Party. So I don't know, it seems a bit weird to me. But anyway, moving on, let's have a look at this. I want to get your thoughts on this. Ah, okay, when it works, let's see if we can get that working. Here we go. Okay, why is this not working? It was working just before. It wants to work, but it's not going to work. All right. Thank you very much, Kylo. We're going to move right along and get the next one. All right, now this here, this is interesting. This is from Sydney. And so what's happening in Australia right now is that while the deep state are working on, you know, the IHRs, they're working on digital IDs in Australia, which we're going to talk about in a second. They're also doing, there's a strange battle going over there, Tiamata, and I want to get your thoughts on it, because they've dropped thousands and thousands of thousands of COVID charges. They've dropped them, COVID lockdown breaching charges, 30,000 of them, wiped them, gone, reimbursed the money, reimbursed fines, right? And you've now got senators leading investigations, making inquiries, holding the therapeutics agency to accountability. But now, and this is from the Sydney Morning Herald, which of course is a very left-leaning paper, thousands left waiting for compensation after claims of COVID-19 vaccine injury. Listen to this. Thousands of people are still waiting to learn whether they will receive compensation for injuries they believe they incurred when receiving a coronavirus vaccine. As claimants and lawyers say, delays are causing unnecessary distress to people with serious illnesses. Wow. There are calls for the scheme to offer provisional payments to those facing long waits while their claims are assessed, with some waiting up to 10 months to learn if they've been successful. And then it just goes on. So, but the federal agencies charged with managing the scheme say this is off the table, with Government Services Minister Bill Shorten having previously said the small number of approvals among applications reflected the overwhelming safety of the vaccines. The COVID-19 vaccine claim scheme covers losses or expenses of $1,000 or more from injury resulting in hospitalization or death from specific severe reactions to the COVID-19 vaccine. Wow. What do you make of that, Tiamata? What are your thoughts of that?
I mean, this could be the beginning of something. If Australia really does acknowledge this and these class actions are successful, then I think that the New Zealand government can be expecting the same thing, and we're going to be seeing waves and waves of this around the world. Probably they anticipated it. I know Machi, my partner, I remember him talking about a study that he looked at years and years ago, and it was GlaxoKline.
Yeah.
And they were being, they had the biggest fine for, you know, lies, coercing doctors, bribing doctors. They had so many crimes against them, and they were being fined $2 or $3 billion, and they turned up and they just said, okay, we'll pay the fine. Wow. Because it's part of the equation. You know, when you've just made hundreds of billions of dollars, then a few billion to pay out on people who got damaged or died is part of the equation, and it's to be anticipated, even though obviously they got indemnity from governments. Well, the governments have to carry the burden, and the governments were stupid enough to do it. They were absolutely stupid enough to do it, so they're going to have to pay for that. And I think that this is a known factor in the whole equation, and it is minor compared to the absolute, you know, hundreds of billions on the table. It's a minor cost, just like with GlaxoKline having to pay those few billion for the people that they damaged and the lies that they'd done and the fraud that they'd done. Just pay off a few billion and on they go.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? You know, because what we have in New Zealand, of course, we have MedSafe, which is meant to be the absolute, you know, gatekeeper, the security guard of New Zealand citizenry, you know, from harm, from medical companies, from pharmaceuticals that are trying to romance, you know, government politicians to allow their products into the arms or into the mouths of New Zealand citizens. MedSafe is the gatekeeper. Now, what happened is, of course, and I'm just getting this data up here so I can make sure. There we go. So Chris James is the group manager of MedSafe, Chris James. And he reviewed the Pfizer injection and he wrote to the regional Pfizer manager operating out of Australia and said, look, we are not going to approve your injection. There's not enough data about it. We're unhappy with it. We don't approve it. He then gets hauled over the fire, over the coals, by the Vaccine and Medications Medical Council, which is a secretive council. You're not allowed to know who's on that. Can you believe that, Tiamara? You are not allowed to know who was on that council. This is Nazi Germany nonsense. This is North Korea nonsense. This is China nonsense. This is Banana Republic nonsense. And they have a higher authority, and so they sent him a letter on behalf of the Prime Minister's office telling him he had to approve it, so he had to approve it. Chris James, he wanted to do the right thing, but had his arm twisted up his back. What do you think about that?
I mean, that just shows how absolutely and utterly useless they are. They shouldn't even exist anymore. That's not doing their job, quite simply. They did not do their job. They did not protect the people of New Zealand. They are absolutely 100% directly responsible for every single injury and every single death attributable to the jabs, which is obviously hard to calculate as well, because a lot of it happens over time. And you find even the people themselves who are suffering the sudden onset pancreatic cancer and the sudden heart attack, sudden death when they're young.
It's mind-blowing. Alrighty.
It's such a crime.
I've got another one here. Right. Now, this is this here. So on one hand, we've got all this good stuff going on in Australia. But on the other hand, you've got Queensland digital identity has been approved. Victoria has just confirmed they are going to introduce a digital identity system. And so that is Queensland, that is Victoria, two very, very big states in terms of population base in Australia, and they're going to impose this system. Your Queensland digital identity is how we establish that you are who you say you are when you use the digital license app. It's one of the ways we keep your private information safe and secure for your digital license. You see, it's all to help you, Tiamara. When you first download and onboard with the digital license app, you need to create a Queensland digital identity. This is different to a QGOV account, if you have one, which can't be used with the app. Your Queensland digital identity is highly assured and unique to you, and you should never share your login details with anyone. If anyone attempts to use your Queensland digital ID, they would need to know your email address, your password, and have possession of your mobile phone. Now, why am I concerned about that? It's because we are already well ahead of this. We've got biometrics ready to go in New Zealand. We have government agencies that already have been approached to trial central bank digital currency e-wallets. How do I know that? Because a big wig in a big organization sent me that last year, that information, and said that she had been approached by the government to be a part of a contractor to the government's trial or pilot of an e-wallet, which she promptly said no to. We also know that the Reserve Bank of New Zealand is ready to employ or deploy the central bank digital currencies. They've already made statements around that. What else have we got in New Zealand? We've got the fact that Jacinda Ardern allowed Amazon Web Services and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, aka Microsoft, to come to New Zealand during a lockdown to meet with various business heads, including Auckland Council, about taking over the rights to data management in New Zealand and to update the data cloud system and infrastructure in New Zealand. But interestingly enough, did you know this though? They also wanted the bid as a third party for New Zealand water infrastructure. Can you believe that? two digital companies.
Oh, wow. Everything. They want the whole country.
Oh, they do. And they do. Now, the problem is of course, we had a, we, it appears, and allegedly, that we had a co-opted prime minister. What do you think?
I mean, I honestly think that in order to be in parliament, you either have to be just ignorant of what's really going on or owned in New Zealand. That's just where it's at now. You're either owned or ignorant.
Yep, exactly. Well,
otherwise you'd be standing up saying, hey, this doesn't make sense. Let me stand for the people. Let me stand for my constituents. I'm embarrassed to see that there's not a single politician in that parliament standing up for the people. Not a single one has dared to just ask straight questions in the face of idiocy and things that absolutely don't measure up and don't make sense. Nobody's got up there and done that. Not one.
I know, it's just heartbreaking. I'll come back to that in a second. We've got a brother, Tēnā koe hōhepa, piana koe iho. He's saying, kia ora Billy, Australia has dropped all COVID-related fines and mandate-related offences. Have a look into it, mate. It may help your upcoming appeal. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Mihi atu. And so, and that's what's happening in Australia. So we are, thank you for that, hōhepa. We're getting intel like that. And strangely enough, what's happened, of course, is that, you know, you've got people like Andrew Brigden in the United States, in the United Kingdom, who recently got kicked out of the Conservatives. And he's strong as anything, this guy. He's standing there, he's joined another minor party, and he's hoping that he, with his presence there, the good work he's been doing, he'll help the party gain momentum and get into Parliament. Now, that to me would give us a chance. This is someone that's still in Parliament. This is someone that's still, you know, going for it, and someone that's got real credibility, right? But he's strong. He's doing it. You've got Megan and Simon in the EU Parliament. You've got Christine Anderson. You've got all those MPs there that are willing to put their lives and their reputations on the line. You've got Australian senators, Senator Malcolm Roberts, who's on the documentary. You've got Senator Antic, Senator Babbick, I think that's his name, I'll get that right, and Pauline Hanson, and on and on and on. You know, you had an MP, Craig Kelly. You had all these men and women that were prepared to talk about the gigantic blinking elephant in the room and stand there and say, wait, stop, this has got to stop. Not one New Zealand politician, Tiamara, and I'm like you. I'm horrified, I'm disappointed, and heartbroken by it. And I think we've got a right to be. I really, really do. Now, we've got a couple more before we got to say goodnight. Boy, the hour's gone quick. CDC director admits vaccinated individuals can transmit COVID-19 to others. But, you know, this is 20th of April, so it's a couple of weeks old, but we did have, a month and a half ago, Bill Gates say the same thing. He came out and said, well, guess what, everybody? That the COVID injection, the Pfizer injection, it's not going to stop you from getting sick. It's not going to stop you from passing it on. It's not going to help your immunity. It's just going to fall off. It's not a blocker. Therefore, it's no good. Now, if you add to the whole problem of the narrative, the New Zealand government said, it's safe, it's safe, it's safe, it's safe. And yet it's not safe. It killed one of my best mate's wives. And I'm saying that now because my good friend Peter, and he's on the documentary, he came to court with me when I was sentenced. And he sat in the public courtroom, and he watched me be sentenced. He's known me since I was a teenager, this man. And his wife died. His beautiful wife died, who I'd known for 25 years, died. And that's not a flippin' conspiracy theory. That's a cold, stark reality. That's a human there, Tiamara. That's a lovely, lovely, strong woman who was just an awesome, honest person, hardworking person, who wanted to keep her blinking job. And I watched Pete sit there, watch me get sentenced to prison. And the look on his face was like, you know, wow. I've lost my wife, and I'm watching one of my best mates go to prison for speaking the truth. And this documentary, I just want to finish with this sentiment with you. This documentary has been probably one of the greatest burdens I've had to carry in my life, other than facing these charges and burdens with that. And it's been painful. My dear friend who helped record the and film that stuck with me the longest, she heard it, you know, she's got an injury, and she's been hurt by it. And it's cost lots of money, countless miles on the road driving, and it's just got to get out, because when it comes out, Te Amara, we're going to do a beautiful job of it. It won't be gainsaid. It's going to be beautifully presented, 100% fact checked, triple checked, quadruple checked, so that no blue haired fact checker called Francis is going to be able to fact check it and say it's a lie. Because it's going to be the truth, Te Amara. You've been with me through that journey. We did interviews with you. We're only weeks away from the first episode. We've got 1,800 minutes of interviews, data, witness testimony, expert testimony. And I just said to the team, we can't just cut this down to 150 minutes or what have you. So we're doing the three episodes. But what are your thoughts about it all, having seen that latest trailer and where you know that we're going with it?
I mean, I know it's been an absolute labour of love, Billy, and I know the enormous amount of energy that it takes. And I think everybody has to thank Corinne as well for looking after the farm so much when she has to, because you're on the road and you're busy, absolutely committed to this. And, you know, it's a gift to New Zealand. And I absolutely can't wait to see what you've done, Billy. It's really exciting, and it's rightful. I think it's rightful. These things have to be righted, and that's what this is about.
Yep, exactly. It's about accountability. Well, sister, I cannot believe it. That's an hour and 10 gone like that. I tell you, you know, is there any updates just before we say goodbye? Is there anything about Freedom Village we need to know, what's happening, or all of that?
I mean, good just stuff? Everybody, yeah, check out freedomvillage.me if you're not already there. And in terms of the preparation, this is a private platform. It's not a website. It's a platform. It isn't a group. You can make your group there. You can Zoom in there. You can have chats in there. You can post in there. We've got fantastic people who post, so you get really good curated content. But you can also really participate, and you can trade in there. And I think moving forward, this is what people need to do to prepare, is to find your alternative stream of income or your only stream of income. And this is where you can make it happen. And set up a bit like a Trade Me, but for the Freedom community. And don't forget about lifeblood.me. That is also about preparation. It is much harder to get yourself sorted on the fly if you haven't got it sorted beforehand. So go to lifeblood.me and register, please.
I'm just putting both of those in the chat right now, Freedom Village and lifeblood.me. And so that is there for you. Thank you, sister. Just hold the line there as I do my closing address. I'll be right with you. Well, dear family, there's your Sunday roast. I hope you enjoyed the gravy. I found it pretty lovely to have a good meal of this food tonight, and hope you enjoyed it. It's always lovely having Sister Te Amara. In fact, we should probably have her on weekly, eh? Well, I reckon we should, if I could talk her into it. And I need to get my Freedom Village account pumping again, that's for sure, because My days are numbered on this stuff. But anyway, as ever, I want to remind you, please, guys, find out what I know. Find out why I know what I know and why I know there is a global work-free day of rest, work-free day of rest for the environment, of course, for global climate change, which the Paris Climate Accord, sponsored by the Vatican, put forward in part of Laudato Si, the philosophy of the, of course, of global climate change mitigation from a social equity point of view, Laudato Si, written by Pope Francis himself. But this is prophetic. That's what's happening, and none of the churches are really are talking about it. Not many in New Zealand anyway. So what we want here is you to get your free book, and you can, all you need to do is email me at billy@ibc.net.nz. Just below my fingernail there, just down there, billy@ibc.net.nz. Get this beautiful book too, because that will give you the history, it will give you the geo-religio-political aspects to where and how we got to today. And both of these books are designed to help you understand this beautiful book, The Only Source of Truth. Thank you, everybody, for your love and support. I do appreciate it. Please don't forget to support Little Fletcher's. Let's get that up here. Hold on 1 second, Kyler. I'll just be right back for you. Where did we put it? We put it over here. I'm going to do that again. This is... Oh, that was the CDC there. We don't want to give them money. All right, this is Fletcher's Walking Wish Appeal at Give A Little, just there. And I'll be doing that. And please support him. And please, as well, don't forget, which is really important for to help me stay out of jail and to fight my electoral charges and everything else. And while I've got this bank account, please, if you can, donate to support me in my battle. I would be very grateful. Because the battle that I've fought has just been fought, not just for my own whānau, it's been fought for all of us, all of you. It really has. Mō tātou, for all of us. And it really has. From day one, from the moment I spoke up to when I go to bed tonight, I did this all for everyone. I didn't want anything out of it. I just wanted to fight for rights and for freedoms, for truth, for honesty. And you know what? And I said this in 2020. Don't look at me as if I've been a perfect person. That's far from the case. But I tell you what, I've been perfect at doing this job because it's real to me. It's from my heart. And I want to see all of you not only free from tyranny, but I also want to see all of you saved. So please, seek the Lord while there is time. But meanwhile, keep the peace in your spirit, and I will see you pōpō. And so, nō reira. Pō Maria e te whānau. Pō Maria. Good night.